Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this Friday drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Welcome aboard. 520-790-2040 is your live line opportunity this morning to give us a call, join in on the conversation. We'll talk about a few news stories. While we were talking about other things, other important things this week, a couple of big news items locally and at the state level and maybe even nationally that we haven't gotten to. We want to take this Friday and kind of wrap up the week with a nice bow and make sense of the week that was. So a couple of stories there. A new candidate jumps into the race for Arizona governor. We'll talk about the U of A in space. And then we'll also talk about the two stories that headlined the front page of Politico that I think are connected and what it means for Arizona. So we'll cover all of that. And then I'm going out on a limb on this one. I'm bullish about this. The next Sam Fox, he may already be, he's in that trajectory. The next Sam Fox, restaurateur Sam Fox. The next Sam Fox will call in and talk about his time as a restaurateur in Tucson, now in Phoenix as well. His optimism despite COVID for what is ahead for Tucson. So that's our show today. Let's go ahead and kick it off. Matt Salmon, former Arizona State Senator, former Congressman, former gubernatorial candidate, has entered the governor's race this week, and we just haven't had a chance to talk about it. So Matt Salmon ran for Congress in 1994. He served three terms as he promised. And then this is actually not his first go around running for governor. Maybe for some of my younger listeners who were thinking about other things in 2002.
Like high school or something like that?
Or earlier. Yeah.
That's where I was.
Right. Our listeners are now going, they're counting on their fingers, trying to figure out how old Ray is. But ran for governor in 2002. And I hadn't realized this, but Matt Salmon only lost by 12,000 votes in that race. We almost had Governor Salmon in Arizona back in 2002. He lost to Janet Napolitano by 12,000 votes. He campaigned back then on cutting taxes and restricting abortion rights, a pretty firm conservative for sure. And up until now, he actually has been working at Arizona State University as the vice president for governmental affairs. He's been in that role for a bit now. He resigned that role to jump into the governor's race. So Matt Salmon joins a field that includes now Kimberly Yee, state treasurer, Karen Taylor Robeson, a member of the Arizona Board of Regents, and former Fox 10 news anchor Carrie Lake is in the race as well. So joins four kind of higher profile gubernatorial candidates. So Matt Salmon is in the race. Now, a couple of you don't tune in to listen to a Wikipedia type report. My thoughts on that. I think I have two thoughts just as I'm looking at this, as this now race is starting to shape up. We're a little over a year from the primary, so we're just getting started here. But I have to think, and you can agree or disagree, 790-2040. I think even if others jump in at this stage, I think just from a horse race, so to speak, standpoint, this is not an endorsement or anything like that. I think the race from here on out really is between State Treasurer Kimberly Yee and Matt Salmon. And that now, campaigns surprise us, elections surprise us. Who knows what's going to happen? We don't know. That's part of the fun of doing this together every day, is we get to say, hey, I think this is going to happen, and then we watch it play out and we comment on that. But I think it's between at this point State Treasurer Kimberly Yee and former Congressman Matt Salmon. If I had to make a bet, I think that's what it is. More importantly, I've talked about this before on the air, but I think in both the Senate race for John McCain's seat. 2022, Mark Kelly will have the opportunity to run as a Democrat for a full six-year term. The Republican side is shaping up to unseat him. In both the Senate race, and I've covered this before, and now the gubernatorial race, there is a divergence of paths taking place. And here in Arizona, we are going to get to answer in our own way, what is the role of President Trump in the Republican Party going forward. Now, I had a listener, Ray, who, to my knowledge, is right of center, right? Is likely a pro Republican, pro Trump individual. Say, you know, Zach, the Trump days are over. We gotta move on. And I was like, I'm okay with that too, but that's not what's happening here. We are at a point where we are going to discover the weight that name, President Trump, former President Trump, has on the Republican voters on the ground and on the populace. And here's why I say that, right? I'm just commenting. I'm not telling you what to think. I'm giving you things to think. When I watched Matt Salmon's video, and this is mirrored again in the Senate race, he is running a traditional conservative Arizona platform. Go watch the video. It's just shy of 2 minutes. It focuses on a lot of the mainstream hot button issues like border, school choice, pro-life, First Amendment, banning critical race theory, media bias, so on and so forth. But no mention of President Trump. The closest he got in his campaign video to referencing anything close to the president's legacy was the phrase Arizona First agenda, which, you know, I mean, you can't take that as anything but, you know, a slight play on an America First agenda. But that was it. That was the only literally 1 second in a 2 minute video where Matt Salmon in his campaign launch referenced anything that could appear to be in any way close to referencing former President Trump. Now, I mentioned I think it's a horse race now between Matt Salmon and Kimberly Yee. Kimberly Yee's video, go watch that. It's about 2 minutes too, is the complete opposite. Some similar conservative principles, but leans heavy on former President Trump's legacy. There's images of him. There's references to America First agenda. Let's continue the legacy. It is very former President Trump heavy. And so I think in our own way, we're going to get to see over the next year what is on the minds of Arizona Republican voters. And then, of course, the interesting part will be what is on the mind of general voters as we head to November, general election voters as we head into November of 2022. But on the Republican side, I think we are going to see in the top two candidates to be the next governor of Arizona, do Arizona voters want a connection back to former President Trump, or are they ready to move on, still conservative, still kind of your traditional Goldwater Arizona? Matt Salmon, I would say, is a Goldwater Republican. Where is Arizona's Republican Party going? We're going to find out. And I think if there is a lead, L-E-D-E, in this story, I think this is it. And I've mentioned, just to wrap up this segment, I've mentioned this on the senatorial side. There are some of the senatorial candidates. I think Mick McGuire was the example I used last week that ran a Goldwater video launch. I mean, it was conservative principles all the way, no mention of former President Trump. Other senatorial candidates have chosen the Kimberly Yee route. Let's reference the legacy of former President Trump. Let's make sure he's showing up in videos. Let's say his name. Nobody truly knows still which path Republican primary voters want to go. We're going to find out in Arizona.
You're not going to only find out in Arizona, nationwide. And yeah, I think this is going to really spell out what happens for 2024.
Yeah.
Because if he is a kingmaker, then it will change the dynamic of the 2024 race. If he's not, and candidates that he endorses lose, then it will change 2024 in a different direction. So you're going to find out what happens.
True. And I mean, we're seeing this play out across the country too. I mean, I'm not saying that it's only going that Arizona is the bellwether. I'm saying we're going to see very closely here at home what direction do Republican voters want to go in a state that is not shifting as blue as some say it is, but it is shifting, certainly purple, towards blue. New day, new time. Where are we going? And again, Ray, I'm not saying what it should be or whatever. I'm just saying observationally, here at home, we're going to see.
No, absolutely. I mean, just the analysis of it is you're going to figure out what's going to happen based on the midterm elections.
Yep.
And what's going to happen for 2024. And that will reshape potentially the Republican primary and what happens there for the presidential race.
Absolutely. Super interesting. So Matt Stammen joins the governor's race. I don't know enough to say whether that field is set. It could be those four. There's nobody that's on my radar unless I'm having the Friday fog that is about to jump in. I think that field and the top of it's pretty much set. Certainly news of the week. We didn't get to it until today. We just did. We're going to go to our first break of the hour here on Tipping Point, 10:30 The Voice. When we come back, I'm going to share two stories that came in this week. The two reasons why I am so excited for the potential future of Tucson, Arizona. While our news has probably for the last 14 to 20 days had a shooting and a killing in it, and we've talked about why that's happening, why nobody's talking about it, I want to end the week by sharing why I'm so excited for Tucson. And it's not Pollyannish, so don't tune out. Come on back. 790-2040 is the call-in number. We'll be back on Tipping Point.
Radio by and for the people of Tucson. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Why I love where I live.
It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live.
Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens football facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127, Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Reserve your ticket today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk, or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. We are back here in the 1030 The Voice studios. This Friday, drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. That's me. We are here, 790-2040. Give us a call, join in the conversation. A couple of segments left together here. And then I'm almost done teasing who I think is the next Sam Fox of Arizona, of Tucson. He's going to call in at the end of the hour. We're going to have a conversation about being a restaurateur here and some optimism for the future. Always a good way to end the week. So I was asked, Ray, a couple months ago to type out, it was for some article, right? What is your vision for Tucson? What is your vision for Tucson? And I wanted to go a little bit deeper than kind of some of the, just kind of surfacey, you know, great thriving community where everyone can stay. I believe that too, by the way. I wanted to go beyond some of that. And genuinely so, I wasn't trying. And I said in that article, Tucson is the space tech hub of the Southwest. That's my vision, right? Because it turns out successful communities need to know what they're good at. They need to market around it, and they need to be that. And I think it's a missing gap for Tucson. And again, my excitement, my passion for Tucson is not in the negative. It is because we have all the ingredients for a five-course, five-star dinner future. We just always go for the Pop-Tart in the pantry. And I'm trying to push the dialogue in my small way to say, hey, let's keep our eye on the ball. But two stories this week. NASA is aiming to send two planetary explorers to Venus towards the end of the 2020s. One of the co-investigators for the Veritas mission is, of course, University of Arizona scientist Jeff Andrews Hanna. So the U of A is, along with NASA, saying Mars, we've made good progress on Mars. It is on to Venus. There's been a big push, he said, to understand Mars, and that has been driven by the question of climate and life on Mars. But Venus has just as big or bigger questions we need to answer. The planned missions will be NASA's first. This is from a press release this week. To Venus in 15 years, scientists want to know how Earth's nearest planetary neighbor evolved to become one of the most inhospitable places in the solar system. Now, don't forget, the U of A has been a part of every space mission since I believe the 60s. I want to say it was either Apollo 11 or Apollo 13. And normally I have that number right at the tip of my tongue, and I think it's the Friday fog today. But it was one of the Apollo missions. A lot of people don't know that. The U of A has been a part of every NASA mission for the last 50 or 60 years, and that legacy continues. You're welcome. I don't know if you heard that in any of the news. I don't know if you heard that from anybody else besides maybe this show, but you're welcome. There we go. Another story that came in This week, the U of A to lead mission to discover potentially dangerous asteroids, led by Amy Manzer. Amy, if you're listening, I butchered that. I apologize. A professor in the University of Arizona's Lunar and Planetary Laboratory, the Near Earth Object Surveyor mission has been approved by NASA to begin its preliminary design phase. NEO Surveyor is an infrared space telescope designed to help advance NASA's planetary defense efforts by expediting our ability to discover and characterize most of the potentially hazardous asteroids and comets that come within 30 million miles, a whisker, of Earth's orbit. These asteroids and comets are collectively known as near-Earth objects, or NEOs. I also found out this week that a publication called Pinnell Central exists, that out of Pinnell Central. Congrats to Pinnell for talking about the U of A. I wish some of our more local media would do the same. And I'm not on a, you know, boo local media kick at all. I'm just saying that it continues to fascinate me and excite me. That's the point of this segment. The U of A is a critical partner on multiple NASA and space exploration missions. It's why I put in what is my vision, that we at least talk about the fact that Tucson is space city, space tech hub of the Southwest. We got to start having people saying that over and over and over again. My excitement for Tucson comes from, we don't have to make this stuff up. We don't have to get in a room behind closed doors and say, what do we want to be? What are we good at? You know, what should we build towards? We have all the pieces. We just have to say, this is what we are. This is how we get, you know, the talent to come into staying in Tucson to fuel that. Let's invest in it. Let's talk about it. Let's be that. Tucson is the space tech hub of the Southwest. In so many ways we are, we just don't market ourselves that way. And I am always fascinated by the great stories that we keep a secret in this town and don't talk about it. But this was just this week while we were talking about other things. The U of A had two big space tech, space exploration missions that they are a part of. One to Venus, one to continue discovering potentially dangerous asteroids. Super cool. I had a listener text in, whatever coffee roast you had this morning, keep drinking it. I'll make that an unplanned shout out to our coffee sponsor on this show. It's the coffee I'm drinking, Decibel Coffee Works on the west side at the MSA Annex. So listener who texted that in, thank you for the opportunity to to plug that. I'm going to keep going because I'm excited. And again, I've said this before I started talking about space. At a community level, we got to have one foot in the pothole and one foot on the moon. That's our responsibility. We can't just talk about the great stuff and not talk about the fact that our roads are in failing condition. We don't have enough police officers to keep the community safe. But we also can't just talk about that and ignore the fact that the ingredients in this community are here for a five-star future if we want it and if we say that we want it. And I wanted to end the week on this really cool note. We didn't get a chance to talk about it until today. But the U of A is doing some incredible stuff. Tucson is kicking butt in space. Let's just kind of try to keep kicking butt here. When we come back, final story of the week, the next Sam Fox of Arizona, I'm going to keep saying it, comes on the air in our fourth segment to close us out. We'll be back on 1030 The Voice.
A Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. If you're just joining us on the other side of our bottom of the hour news break and sponsor messages, welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio for the second half of this final drive time hour of the week of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. In-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. As we often like to do on Fridays, we want to look back at the week that was, certainly talk about some of the major news stories that we didn't get to talk about. We started by talking about Matt Salmon, a former gubernatorial candidate in the early 2000s in Arizona, is jumping in again for a second try at it, now one of four major Republican candidates who are in a primary for the Republican gubernatorial nominee next year in the primary. So we talked about that. We also talked about not one, but two incredible news stories about how some of us in the know through, you know, who listen to this show, Arizona, U of A and Tucson kicks butt in space exploration. There's just like 20 people who know about it in Tucson. And I am on a mission, no pun intended, to increase that number substantially. I'm on a mission. So we talked about that. We've got a short segment here before we welcome on in a guy that I think is on the rise in Arizona as a restaurateur. But it was really interesting when I open up. Politico is one of my sources of news. I try to have both news sources on the right and the left, and I'm always looking and balancing. Politico is amongst that list. But right at the top, so both the big new, the big main magazine story, and then just the ticker at the top. The ticker at the top talked about the media storm that Kyrsten Sinema, Senator Kyrsten Sinema, has created. The next article talks about Biden Republicans and what is happening in some of the suburbs around this country, not all of them. And my weird mind works in kind of the connection of the two. And I got to keep it short because the segment is short. But Meghan McCain was quoted in this political kind of ticker story. I think she's pretty fearless. What's the worst that can happen to me is her mindset, said Meghan McCain. She's not scared of being uncool with the woke left. Again, these are Meghan McCain's words, not mine. Politically, she's pretty well tuned to the state in a lot of ways. And I think for me, that was the line. And I've thought this too. Again, I'm not approaching this issue from a political standpoint. I'm just objectively looking and I'm saying, you know, I don't think Senator Kyrsten Sinema does too many things without having strategically thought about it two or three moves down the road. I don't think Senator Kyrsten Sinema has too many accidents. And I think Meghan McCain is right at this point of what we know. I think Senator Kyrsten Sinema is more in tune with the electorate of the entire state of Arizona combined the different wings of the Democratic Party, independents and Republicans, then certainly I think many of the growing coalition of Democrats think that she is. And I want to tie that to the other story. The what has rung in my head is actually some research done by Benny White, a Republican who ran for county recorder against Gabby Cazares-Kelly and eventually lost in that general election. But Benny White has been looking at some of the numbers that he has access to. And he was recently in the Daily Star here in Tucson a week or so ago about this. But he's basically crunched the numbers and looked at the number of votes, many of them suburban, who voted strong Republican down the ballot. I mean, we're talking for 7+ Republicans down ballot and voted for Joe Biden. And that's not, you know, analysis. That's not an opinion. That's just the way the data looks on a spreadsheet that people have access to. And what it tells me is that as we've talked about a leftward shift of the state, I can't tell personally, and we'll be talking about this for the next year for sure. I can't tell personally if what we saw in 2020 was a leftward shift or a momentary response. Now, I think the state is purple, and I think it is shifting blue. But to say that it has swung blue and that conservative Democrats and even Republicans don't have a shot in the next 2 to 4 years of winning a statewide race, I think doesn't reflect the reality that in many ways there is still a Republican voting base across the state that is still planning to vote Republican. I don't think they're going to vote for a far left Democratic statewide candidate. I'm also thinking they're not going to vote for a conservative hardline Republican candidate. This is a purple voting state in 2022, and I think in 2024. 2020 made us think, oh, is this a blue state? I don't think it's a blue state. And a lot of progressives I talk to who are honest with themselves agree. They go, hey, we look at the numbers. Great, Joe Biden won the state, if I'm speaking from a progressive standpoint, but they look at that seven seats down the ballot that Republican voters continue to vote Republican. They just didn't want President Trump in the suburbs, in suburban areas. And this is not news. We know this to be true. So anyway, I saw Kyrsten Sinema, Senator Kyrsten Sinema, in the ticker of this story. And then I saw this news story about how the suburbs are changing. Are we seeing Biden Republicans like we saw Reagan Democrats? I think the stories are connected. And my weird brain works, and what are the trends and how they connect? I would agree with Meghan McCain. I don't always. I would agree with Meghan McCain on this. I think Senator Kyrsten Sinema may be more tuned in to the voting populace of the state of Arizona than almost anybody else. And you don't have to like that. But I think to say that Arizona is either red or blue misses the reality on both sides. And it misses what Arizonans are actually telling us matter to them. And it is a purple set. It is a purple agenda. Republicans and Democrats have a purple agenda. And for the life of me, it frustrates me to see politicians on both sides completely ignore that reality. So when we come back, Nate Aries, there you go. There's the name I've been teasing for 2 or 3 days. Prep and Pastry, Commoner & Co., Flora's Market Run. I think a restaurant tour in the trajectory of Sam Fox from right here in Tucson, but his own man is doing some incredible things here in Tucson and now Phoenix. We're going to talk to him about COVID, optimism for the future, the opening of a brand new restaurant in our community, and how we can support great people doing great things here in Tucson and Southern Arizona. We'll be right back on 1030 The Voice. Tipping Point continues after this.
To Vail and everywhere in between. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community.
Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Reserve your ticket today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk, 1030, The Voice.
Tucson and Southern Arizona, good morning again to you. A fast-moving hour here of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. Essential workers have kept Tucson together through the pandemic. Now it's our turn. Yes, that's you and me, our turn. Dine local, shop local, spend local. We are now essential customers supporting the businesses we love and the men and women who create and run them. On this program, we're excited this year to be partnering with the Vantage West Credit Union, who is partnering with the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. And the three of us here for the next few moments are going to continue our series of interviewing some of the business owners and businesses that make Tucson awesome and how we can support how they've come through COVID, but also their vision for the future. Now we are with Nate Arias of Prep and Pastry and Commoner and Co., and the list just keeps growing. Nate, it's been a minute since we had you here on the show. It's good to see you. How are you?
Thank you so much. It's good to see you as well. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I mentioned two of your restaurants. Let's finish the picture before we dive in here. What is the list? And you are now in Phoenix as well as growing extremely well in Tucson. I think you're the next Sam Fox, but your own person. I'm going to keep saying it until somebody tells me to stop, including you. But I'm going to keep going with it. I think you're kicking butt. You're an incredible restaurateur. Tucson seems to be treating you well. How many restaurants do you have? Tell us about the one you just opened. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, we've got six restaurants now, and we've got three Prep and Pastries, one in the waterfront in Scottsdale, two here in town. We have Commoner & Company on the north east side of town, August Roads Bakery, which is just a small little bakery that supplies a lot of our favorite restaurants with their bread and stuff. And then we just opened up Flora's Market Run, which is in the old iconic location of Rincon Markets.
Incredible. And so much has happened since we last had you on the air. Now, Rincon, the old Rincon Market, seemed to, and this is sad because it happened to so many businesses, of course, struggled and ultimately had to kind of close up shop during COVID. You and your restaurants lived through COVID as well, and you were able to again put up the new concept, Flora's Market Run, certainly in the latter half of COVID. We won't dwell here too long, but give us a sense of what it was like to get through COVID and why you think you in particular kind of successfully came out of it on the other side.
You know, it was we just stayed ahead of the trends, in that, you know, we put our company's not one to be kind of, we're not ones to run around, and we don't go to those, you know, chef competitions and, you know, those type of things. We stick to ourselves. We just keep our heads down and work really hard, hoping that it will pay off, you know, one day. And that's what we did with COVID. We got very aggressive with what we did, in meaning that, you know, we cut aggressively at the beginning once we saw the writing on the wall, once we knew that there was going to be unemployment benefits that pretty much outweighed what servers or line team members were going to be making inside of a restaurant. We gave them all the information to get onto that because we knew our sales were going to plummet. So we were just really aggressive with getting ahead of everything. You know, with online cooking classes, since we weren't having people come into the restaurant, we said, how can we still connect with guests and make a little bit of money? So we did online cooking classes. We did our social media really, really took off during COVID. That's the one thing that I sat down and said, okay, everyone, including myself, is just glued to their phone. It is, I'm just, you can't get off of it. So we need to pour the little money that we are making. Well, we weren't making any, but, you know, a little money that's coming in, we need to pour that into social media and get in front of everyone and come up with breakfast packages, lunch packages, you know, things. And we just really got as creative as possible and kept people engage with us, because, you know, how can you connect with someone when the world's, you know, pretty much crumbling down around you?
Right. We're with Nate Ayres this morning, co-founder of Prep and Pastry and Commoner & Co. and the new Flora's Market Run. I want to get your view, Nate, of what the next, you know, 6, 12, 18 months look like. You seem to be on an incredible trajectory, but tell us about Flora's Market Run. I'm going to get to be there later this weekend for the first time. I'm really excited about it. It looks amazing in the pictures. Tell us about that transition from kind of the Rincon Market that a lot of people know to this new concept that you have and what people can expect at Flora's Market Run.
You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And that's what we really did with Rincon Market. We kept it, we changed the layout. I mean, when you walk in, it doesn't look like Rincon Market anymore. So, but we kept it as a market and restaurant, but we moved all the market, you know, anything that had to do with the market into one area of the building, and anything that had to do with the restaurant into one area, because before it was mixed where you could buy prepared food in the restaurant and, you know, you have to go cash out in the grocery store. So we just separated them and, But we cleaned it up. We didn't want anyone coming in saying, I missed the salad bar. Where's the salad bar? We didn't want the iconic things that Rincon Market was known for. So we scrapped all that and really kind of upped it. Gave it the love that I feel like it really needed after, you know, a 94-year run. It's been a whole different world. It's been a learning curve, but it's been a fun one.
That's so cool. Tell us real quick about the menu. I think a lot of our listeners are more familiar with Prep and Pastry, Commoner & Co. Yeah. Nate Airy is with us here, co-founder of both. It's now 6 restaurants in Tucson and now the Phoenix area. What's the menu at Flores? What can people expect to eat?
Very market-centric, you know, whatever we're getting in, you know, our fishmonger is top-notch. We went and stole him from Canyon Ranch and some of our other team members from, you know, some other big resorts and whatnot. And, so if we get king salmon in, we're throwing it on over to the restaurant. We got fresh, we're flying in oysters constantly, shucking oysters for happy hour. We got a huge wood-fired oven. But most people just have a wood-fired oven and just cook pizzas in it. We're cooking rotisserie chickens in it. We're cooking Brussels and artichoke hearts in there. You know, like a lot of fun things in there that normally you wouldn't see if you just see a big old wood-fired oven. It's just pizzas coming out of it nonstop. And, of course, as I said, we have pizzas. But breakfast, lunch, and dinner, breakfast and lunch is, light, fun. You can get your pancakes, you can get your Benedict, you can get a fried chicken sandwich, the whole kind of gambit, almost like Prep and Pastry, but I don't want to say it's like it because we like to have them all have their own identity. And then dinner, where you can do a nice salmon steak or you can get a homemade pasta. We're really just covering the bases of the American cuisine market. Centric American cuisine.
I love it. Love it. We're interviewing some incredible businesses here in this series. We're partnering with Vantage West Credit Union, the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce, to highlight some of the great men and women doing great things, but also a call to action. You and I, yes, you listening to me, we are essential customers keeping these businesses thriving. And in the case of Nate Aries with us here, Prep and Pastry, Commoner & Co., Flores Market Run, really to me it's a call to action to support what I think is your incredible vision. And I think the next 6, 12, 18 months are probably pretty exciting for you guys. What comes next for you and for the restaurants and how can we support?
You know, the next step is just reconnecting with the team this summer. My wife and kiddos just went up to Portland because I'm going to be cranking out some long hours and they can escape the heat up there. And I want to reconnect with the team and kind of, get the hospitality standards back and see where we go from there. But that's really the next step for us. We don't have for once in our company's career, we don't have the next move laid out, which is kind of nice. But I'm sure that will change here in the next couple of months. Past that, supporting companies, I just say, look at the little ones around town. You know, we've lost so many great restaurants in town. 20% of restaurants are going to close. So look at the small mom and pop places that don't have the social media power, the buying power that some of companies like our size do. We have a little more buying power than most mom and pop places. But go out there and support those small ones. I'd hate to see some of the small mom and pop ones close up in the summer because summer's already so tough in Tucson. And I think I think it's going to be the toughest, summer that restaurants have ever seen. But right when we get into season, it's going to be, I really think it's going to be the roaring 20s for restaurants for the next, year or so.
Yeah, man, I am looking ahead to September, October, and I'm like, it's going to be wild. I think you're right. I was predicting that, our recession, so to speak, in Tucson was actually going to be 3 months longer than everybody else's when we looked around the country, because Tucson's summer already is a recession. I've been in the food and service industry in Tucson in a past life, and you know, you kind of take a big deep breath in May and you try to hold it until August, September, and hope you can make it through every single time. It's just rough. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, man, it is going to be nuts, and I'm looking forward to
it's
it, honestly.
Be crazy. yeah, I'm a, it's nice to see people's faces. It's going to be fun. You know, we'll see what happens, but I really do think it's going to be a madhouse out there for October through May.
So. Nate, again, you're one of the, in my mind, most successful restaurateurs here in Tucson. Let's wrap up the show. We got a little less than 2 minutes. Give us your call to action. We're asking our listeners to be essential customers, to visit and patronize your businesses. Anything else you need or want from our Tucson community to continue growing and be successful? If you could sit down, wave a magic wand, give it to me. What do you need?
You know, what I'd say is, you know, support the small, I'll stay in my lane, you know, the restaurant lane, support small restaurants, the small mom pops. And if you do that, don't do like a Uber Eats or something like that. I know it's hot out there. It's painful to drive out there with how hot it is. It's draining. But like Uber Eats, DoorDash, they take so much money from those small little mom pop places because they don't have the, you know, the negotiating power to cut the fees down. So go there, pick it up yourself, you know, be patient because it's really hard to hire people right now. It's everyone's coming out, but we don't have enough staff to fill the demand. So, you know, and just be patient with the small mom-and-pop places. Beat places like us up, but the small mom-and-pop ones, leave them alone.
Nate, you're a good man. I appreciate you. Appreciate you coming on. I do hope that the labor shortages and the inflated prices of costs of goods, I hope all that shifts back into balance for you sooner than later. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for being on the show. Congratulations on your recent success, even through COVID. And I can't wait for us to support your vision going forward. I appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Nate. We'll talk soon. Nate Aries, Prep and Pastry, Commoner & Co., Flora's Market Run. That's it for us. We're heading into a weekend. Stay cool out there, Tucson, as much as you can. If you see someone on the street, let them know about the cooling centers that are going underused around Tucson. Help some folks out. When we come back, our Monday morning news hour will kick us off. Louis Christensen, guy who loves Tucson. A little bit cheeky along the way. It's always a fun conversation. That's what will kick us off next week. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon. Zach Yenser signing out here at Tipping Point. Take care.